The year is 1915. The First World War has broken out, sparking chaos along Europe's southeastern perimeter. Thousands of Armenians living in the prosperous cotton fields in the region of Anatolia find themselves under attack from Ottoman Turks.
When the Turks came, first of all, they killed my father and my mother because they wanted to take our fields and everything.
Roza Khadaryan was 3 years old at the time. When this interview was recorded by the BBC 10 years ago, she still bore the scars of what she had lived through 84 years earlier. To her and other Armenians, the killings of hundreds of thousands of people can only be described as genocide.
They killed them and then they put my hand in the fire. Here it is, my hand in the fire.
The events which Armenia says led to the death of 1.5 million people and displacement of many more are complicated. Russia, France and Greece, among others, now recognise the killings as a calculated destruction of a people. To Turkey, they're part of the chaos of the First World War. Professor Ron Suni from the University of Michigan in the United States has studied the origins of the conflict. As he points out, prior to the killings, Armenians and Turks were actually friends, not enemies.
Ironically, in the middle of the 19th century, Armenians in the Ottoman Empire were known as the Millet Isadika, which means the loyal nation. But that began to change radically in the latter part of the 19th century as Armenians attempted to ameliorate their situation and were very interested in greater freedoms, greater rights, and even some autonomy within the bounds of the Ottoman Empire. Over time, the Turks began to imagine the Armenians as an internal enemy, as an existential threat to the survival of the empire.
Official Turkish historians have disputed the Armenian version of events. They say only 300,000 Armenians died and that the deaths were not organized executions, but simply the result of regional power play. However, Armenians and some international scholars write that women, children, and old men were systematically forced to leave their homes. Some fled to the south, to the deserts of Ottoman-controlled Syria. Certain historians suggest between 600,000 and 1 million people died on the way or when they got there. Others, like Yelena Abrahamyan, fled to the north, to Russian-controlled Armenia. She was 5 at the time. She's now nearly 100 years old. I met Yelena in her small apartment in the capital of Armenia, Yerevan. She's now an artist and her walls are adorned with colourful pictures of Anatolia.
We survived by a miracle. At that time, thousands of people were fleeing to the Armenian town of Gyumri. Since my father was with the military, we were provided with a van. We put all of our things into the van. Soon, word spread that some Armenians were already on the way to Gyumri. Then the Turks approached. I quickly hurried home and people were saying, let's hurry and go to Gyumri as well.
Gyumri was a town in the Russian province of Armenia that many eventually fled to. Sadly, when they got there, many more died because it was a land of sort of walking pestilence and death. There were no possibilities for real health care. People died of typhus and of other diseases of starvation.
As Professor Suni explains, the relative safety of Russia didn't guarantee survival. Yelena remembers people's attempts to escape. Although 90 years on, her memory is patchy, she still recalls the awful things that she saw along the road.
The Turks went to the mountains and started shooting at people, but the people fleeing were mainly women and children. The road followed alongside a river. There was another road, which was full of people, but because of the Turks, it was impossible to use it. I remember a bridge. It was called Fear Bridge because it was very vulnerable. People tried to cross it, but as they did so, it collapsed.
Did you lose friends?
The first dead person I saw was a man who was trying to escape and was suddenly shot. A woman witnessed it and started to scream and cry. I remember her screaming. It was very, very noisy. But I don't remember everything that was going on. That's because at that point I fell unconscious.
How many of your friends and family did you lose?
I saw my grandmother take care of my cousin. She was 4 years old. She was wounded. But in substance, my memory of those events is quite patchy because I was left alone in the van. I was unconscious. I'm not sure how long for. But then I opened my eyes and saw my cousin next to me. I can still remember to this day how still she looked. When I spoke to her, she gave no reaction. There was no reflex.
Both Rosa's and Yelena's childhood memories paint a picture of chaos during the period from 1915 to 18. Their stories and others like them have been passed on to the next generation. But events seen by Armenians as genocide are less widely known than the Jewish Holocaust of the Second World War. Professor Suni thinks he knows why that might be the case.
The Armenian genocide is very much different from the Jewish Holocaust by the Nazis in that, unlike the Holocaust, it's not a kind of sterile, bureaucratic, organized event. The genocide was much more disorganized, in some ways spontaneous violence or arbitrary violence took place. And Rosa's account of the burning of her hand is typical of many of the atrocities that people report that have come down to us in diaries, memoirs, letters, etc. People have told tales of women being disemboweled, pregnant women, the fetuses thrown into the ground or into a river. People were so traumatized by the physical brutalities, the rapes, the murder of children, bashing children's heads against rocks, that many women and others threw themselves into the Euphrates to commit suicide. It's said that the river, the Euphrates, ran red with blood.
It's graphic images like those described by Professor Suni, which still haunt Yelena.
When I close my eyes, I see everything like a coloured film. Every night, I relive those experiences. For a short time after I was displaced, I went to an orphanage. That didn't help. The orphanage was headed by a military official. I was unhappy. I'm still so unhappy.
So there's not one bit of you that's prepared to forgive and move on?
No. Turkey should first recognize genocide, apologize. Otherwise, my heart won't stand it.
Rosa was also orphaned, but she turned to her Christian faith to help her overcome the sense of loss and pain.
I was taken to the orphanage, and there I was brought up. I have a Bible they gave me as a present. Still I've got the Bible with me. Oh, we suffered very much. What can I do? What is the good of being angry? God forgive them. I can't say anything. God says, vengeance is mine. I shall punish them.
Today, nearly 95 years after the events described by Rosa and Yelena, the Turkish government still refuses to see the mass killings and displacements as genocide.